Hey everyone, this is James Mackey and welcome to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. Join us as we cover high-level thought leadership and step-by-step guides on how to make people a competitive advantage for your organization. I'm incredibly proud to be the CEO of Secure Vision, the sponsor of this show and the number one contract recruiting, embedded recruiting, and RPO firm. A thank you to our partners, Greenhouse, the hiring operating system for people-first companies, and GEM, the all-in-one hiring solution recruiters love. Let's go. Hello. Welcome to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. I'm your host, James Mackey. Very excited for today's episode. We are joined by Christian Sutherland Wong. Christian, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, James.
Yes, I am pumped. Before we jump into the topics we have outlined, could you please share a little bit about yourself with everyone?
Yeah, happy to. I originally born in Australia and grew up there. I spent most of my young adult life there. I came to the States back in 2007, originally to do an MBA. And then where it took me from there is I was spent a little bit of time at LinkedIn. And then most recently, I spent the last 8 years at Glassdoor, helping to build out Glassdoor. And we're helping to transform Glassdoor into the leading platform for workplace conversations.
I can't wait to learn more. So you mentioned you started at a small little company called LinkedIn back in the day, right? And I'd love to learn a little bit more about what you were helping them build while you were there.
Yeah. So I joined LinkedIn back in 2009, and it was a 300 people, I think. So relatively small for what LinkedIn's become today before the IPO. And I was just attracted to it because I saw it as one of these great examples of a what we used to call Web 2.0 or social web companies. But I could see it was going to change how people communicated. And also, I think the business model around changing how recruiting works, and it was probably, I think, the biggest disruption to recruiting we've seen in decades, and it was really cool to be part of it. So I was there for 5 years. I ran LinkedIn's premium subscription product and business, which was a key part of the way of how LinkedIn earned revenue and in allowing for members to upgrade to a premium membership. So that could be job seekers, it could be recruiters or people in sales. And then over time, we started building more deeper offerings for recruiters and for salespeople, but it all came out of premium subscriptions. And so I was there for 5 years and yeah, had a really fun ride. And it's great to see how LinkedIn has just grown as a company, really transformed how all of us work.
Oh yeah, for sure. I pretty much built my entire RPO embedded recruiting business on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you can think of like, how would RPO work, or how would, for so many recruiters, how would their lives work without LinkedIn? It's, there was a time, go back prior to 2003, before LinkedIn was around, where it was really different. You had to have these Rolodexes and all these contacts. You'd have this your prized asset. And LinkedIn just democratized that and just like totally changed the game. But from that, I think allowed recruiting to get even more better and bigger and even more strategic for companies in a bigger way. And I think it's really cool what LinkedIn how it can change the game.
Yeah, for sure. I got my first client at Secure Vision through LinkedIn. I was doing posting and whatnot and connecting with leaders and talent acquisition, and a recruiting leader at Grubhub. I saw one of my posts and reached out to me. And I was at the time, literally, it was just me and the company. And again, we didn't have any customers. And it wasn't, what was really interesting about it was my first customer came from LinkedIn, not my personal network. Like it wasn't like a close friend or anything like that. I got an inbound lead from Grubhub from LinkedIn.
That's just wild.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It just speaks to like the breadth of LinkedIn, and also that people trust LinkedIn and people actually go to LinkedIn looking for these opportunities. You know, that the example from Grubhub you had of, I think that's kind of part of the power of the platform is that they've created a very safe space for people to have these kinds of business interactions. But that's really cool.
Yeah, I think so. And I think like too, it's they've done a pretty good job over the years dialing into a couple different product offerings, or I know it's more than a couple, but they really haven't strayed too far from their brand or their mission. Like I think that they've done a pretty good job like dialing into, okay, this is the value we're providing. And what I think is really cool too is beyond being able to showcase like your skill set and whatnot, it really is just the power of network and quite honestly, the power of content, people that choose to post and build brand and do these types of things and position themselves as experts. It creates a lot of value for a lot of people.
Yes.
And it really expands our ability to have, as you said, more than a Rolodex of just maybe a couple hundred people. You can really get exposure in your industry beyond anything that was available before. So it was definitely like a game changer, right? Like a massive shift in terms of how we go about identifying opportunities, building relationships, recruiting, hiring. It's really just changed everything drastically.
Yeah, agreed. And I think your example of Grubhub also kind of speaks to, I think, the evolution of the way LinkedIn has added value in our lives. And I think early on, it was very heavily focused on kind of the recruiting conversations. But over time, it's beyond just recruiting now. It's also just building your business in general and making contacts in general. And I think LinkedIn is the place a lot of us think about building our personal brand. So when we have something we want to post to the world, usually it's professionally related or somehow tied to something professionally related. LinkedIn is a great platform to do that. And it's really cool to see how LinkedIn's evolved over the years and how people use LinkedIn.
Yeah, for sure. Think about even this episode, right? Like, I'm going to be promoting this episode essentially to my LinkedIn network, my, I think, 34,000 followers, many of which are like tech executives, right?
Yeah.
And so just the access to value that we can push out to the world, like, how would I have done that? Newsletters, right? There's certain things that you could do. It really just wasn't accessible before. So I think what's really cool about your career too, it's like you started at LinkedIn, which was this massive game changer. And then you went to Glassdoor, which also really fundamentally changed the game in terms of how people think about evaluating potential employment opportunities. And it's become a big part. I don't really know anybody who wouldn't leverage Glassdoor when they're considering working at a new company. Just, I don't really know a whole lot of people who wouldn't leverage LinkedIn. One of my questions I'm really curious to learn from you about is fundamentally just reviewing how Glassdoor changed the game initially when it was founded. And let's just start there.
Yeah. So I joined Glassdoor in 2015, and that was about 7 years after Glassdoor was founded. But I think the early insight of the founders of Glassdoor, Robert Homan, who was the CEO of Glassdoor, is he tells it is this, realize that when go out to get a job, the whole transaction is very lopsided. The company knows everything about you. They've got your resume. They've got your LinkedIn profile. They ask for references. They quiz you on a whole bunch of stuff. And yet you from the outside have very little access to really know what's going on in the company. Is it a great company to work for? Is the salary they're offering me a fair compensation for my role? Or is it less or more than what, you know, other people who are similar to me earn? And so that was the idea of Glassdoor. We can even the playing field here. We're going to drive more transparency in the workplace. And by doing that, I'll allow people to ultimately find a job and company that they'll love, one where they really gel with the company and one where they get paid fairly. And the belief is this is not just going to be great for job seekers and employees, but ultimately great for companies as well. Because at the end of the day, companies want to connect with people who are going to be a great fit for them. So if you can create a platform that drives this transparency earlier in the process, it'd be really, you know, a bit of a game changer. And so that's what attracted me to join back in 2015, because I wanted to be part of this movement in the same way I'd seen, you know, LinkedIn grow and become pretty transformational for the world of work and world of recruiting. I saw the same potential for Glassdoor. And I think now 8 years beyond that, I think it's certainly true that things have played out that way. It's something that we at Glassdoor are really proud of.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think from a candidate perspective, it makes, or a job seeker perspective, it makes a whole lot of sense. I think sometimes executives at companies may not understand the full value of investing in Glassdoor and investing in and taking feedback from Glassdoor to make their organization better. The reality is, I feel like the best category leading organizations understand that transparency needs to be a two-way street.
Yes.
And so that's, I think, a mindset shift that I think more companies are getting it now than even maybe did 5 years ago. I've seen a big shift.
Sure.
As you said, right? Like, companies, they want your employment history, performance references,
the
past 10 years. And then it's candidate asks, hey, what's your runway? Are you profitable?
What's it like to work here? Is it an intense culture? Do people work really long hours? Are people good to each other? What's the leadership like? And so many questions that people have. Yeah, totally. And to your point around that, I think there has been this shift in the mindset of leadership over time. They thought embrace transparency and really embrace Glassdoor. And I'd say, rewind when I began, I think there were a lot of companies who were very tentative with their relationship with Glassdoor. And fast forward to today, where the best companies, they all have a Glassdoor strategy. They all actively want to engage with us. They can see the win now. And the other part of it, I think we've also shown, and this is a lot of our academic research, is that we find, we have data that shows that the companies that perform the best when it comes to their overall Glassdoor rating as a reflection of their employee experience, they're the companies that outperform other companies when it comes to stock market performance and shareholder performance. And so there's this great narrative now that's in the data shows that if you create a great working experience, that will lead to you looking after your shareholders. And it's logical. You create a great workplace, you attract the best employees who want to come work for you. They stay with you longer, they're more productive. And so as a result, your company performs better. And I think that's where I think it's really dawned on leaders and employers over time that it's a real win if we embrace transparency and try and create great workplaces for people.
I think that we also need to realize that the idea of experience and performance are not two separate conversations. Employee experience and performance are not two separate conversations. Right. Candidate right. experience and performance aren't, because when you get right. experiences for people on the candidate side, which I know there's also options to leave reviews for the quality of the interview process, even if before people are employees, that stuff's incredibly important, because if you're able to provide great experiences to candidates, you're going to get higher, more relevant talent
yeah.
down funnel, and you're going to convert them into top talent. And I think that's just incredibly important. I think that sometimes executives don't even understand a blind spot there. For instance, like if experience isn't great, you might have some really talented folks drop out of your interview process. And maybe you look down funnel and you look at who's in your final round and you have one really great person. Maybe you could have had three, and you're not going to really know that without having some sort of like feedback loop. And then also just creating great experiences to get the best people on your team. And you're right, like great, for instance, like the idea of an employee experience, right? If you create a great onboarding experience, it's really easy to look at sales, right? If you create great onboarding experiences for salespeople, it also decreases their ramp time so that they can be productive faster. You're creating a better experience for the employee, but you're also potentially creating more revenue and growth for the organization. So again, to me, it's experiences and outcomes. It's the same conversation. When you want better outcomes and performance, start with experience, right? Honestly.
Right. And I also like that you pointed on the use that word relevance of it is about fit as well. And it's not like there's a single way in which you create a great workplace. Your company's going to have a different strategy to other companies, and you might have a different employee engagement strategy to other companies. And if you look on our platform, we have all different types of companies who have great Glassdoor ratings, some who are like really intense. Have intense workplaces. For example, Bain & Company, the management consulting company, were really renowned for really long hours and intense work schedules for the employees. You have to travel a ton as well. They've actually been number one on our list of best places to work more than any other company. And what they've done is they've been able to attract the types of people who want to actually work those hours, who want to have the Bain experience. And I think there are other companies, sometimes they get dismissed for being too intense or having a certain way in which they do business. But it's, I think, better for employees to have eyes wide open when they're going in and deciding to join that company. That's the employee experience they want to have. And there might be other companies that have fantastic work-life balance. And there are some employees who flock to those companies as well. And they can do great on Glassdoor when it comes to their ratings as well. But I think that idea of fit and relevance is what is most important. And it just comes back to transparency. If you're upfront on the type of your company you are, you'll attract the right people for you. And you'll also make sure that the people who aren't a great fit, you know, don't apply or don't come through and get shocked on day one when they realize this is not the company they signed up for.
And I also think it's important to share the challenges that your organization is having.
Yes.
No company's perfect.
Right.
And it's okay to have significant challenges. Every company does. They're going to have real problems. And the reality is you want people on your team that are passionate about solving for those problems.
Yes.
And if you don't share those problems with folks, not only during the interview process, but through other avenues and channels of transparency, for instance, like Glassdoor, like you're not necessarily going to get the people that you, first of all, you don't want somebody to be blindsided by a challenge, but even the layer beyond that is that you want people that are excited about, okay, this is a big challenge that the company is working through right now. I think I can be a value add in helping to solve for that. And I feel like that's sometimes a missed opportunity. We're always, a lot of times when we're pitching or selling a company in terms of, hey, come work here, it's of course we're focusing on all the cool things that we're doing, but it's okay to also dial into, hey, here's the things that we're it's a current challenge. Like here's our strategy to make it better, but we're looking for great people that can help us make it to the next level.
I think being more open about your challenges is very much tied to your leadership maturity. I think early on as a leader, you feel like you need to control all the information, you need to control the message. And because it's really scary to think, oh, if I'm open about this stuff, people will know that we're not doing well over here, or this is really challenging. But then I think as more mature leaders realize is that if you actually embrace being more transparent, sharing these issues, I think Brené Brown talks about vulnerability a lot. And it's just, I think it's just, you know, a very similar kind of message of leaders who can act with vulnerability, who can share this, end up connecting better with candidates or with their employees. And also you have this knock-on effect of then your employees will take on the challenge with you and they'll partner with you on solving these challenges. And that's what I see in the best leaders is they really embrace being open, being transparent, so that they can pass information more freely, so that everybody knows where everything stands and that we can all go and tackle the most important challenges together, rather than being just spoon-fed the little bits of information that leadership wants you to know, which I think is a very old school way of trying to run a company.
All right, I think so. As a business owner, I don't get terribly upset if I get a negative Glassdoor review. I don't get defensive about it. It's okay to get some negative feedback too. And in fact, I think when people are looking at Glassdoor, they want a realistic perspective. They're not just looking for, they want to say, okay, but what about an experience that didn't go great? How come? And then what's the response of the company to that individual? And I think the responses to a review, which isn't great, will tell you a lot about the leadership style too.
Yes.
And I think you want to work for a company too that says, you know what, I'm sorry you had this experience. And this is the context of where the company was at, what we think might have happened. And it's a situation in which the company can make an improvement to basically say, hey, this is what we've learned from this. And we're talking with employees and this is what we're implementing as a result of that. And we really appreciate the feedback. Or either way, it's regardless of how you need to handle the message, I think in response, there's opportunities there to have a genuine conversation. And I don't think anybody expects a company or a leader to be perfect, but no. I think that they're also looking at like, how are you going to respond? Which the reality is like every company is going to have a challenge or isn't going to be able to create, quite honestly, a great experience 100% of the time. That's never happened. It never will happen. You can be a great company to work for, but there are going to be times in which there's challenges. And again, like I think that how you respond to that is ultimately more important. And it's also, you know, it's showing that you're listening to employees and that you're consistently working on improving. I had a customer back in 2018, it's a category leading SaaS company that ended up IPOing. They hired in some external leaders and just wasn't the right fit. At least that's the message I heard from the leaders that were there after this. And it messed with the culture. And they went through a hiring sprint and then they ended up having to let go a fair amount of people because some of the unrelevant people or the people that weren't the right fit were brought into the organization. And their Glassdoor got hammered by people criticizing the leadership and this, that, and the other. And I'll be honest, like from a recruiting standpoint at first, like it really did, it hurt. But what we ended up doing is the leaders responded. And then on the interview process, they also had a very clear roadmap of, hey, this is what we're doing about it. And this is how we are in a different place today and how we're going to continue to be able to improve. And quite honestly, I think it took from 3 months to 12 months, like we saw drastic, like consistent improvements in terms of how employees interacted with that. And I think in the long run, it actually helped create a better company because it showed again, okay, what is leadership now doing about that?
I love hearing stories like that where, you know, it's a much more evolved attitude to getting feedback and recognizing that it's not about even trying to manipulate a Glassdoor rating or score. It's actually about going and solving the employee issues. And then that employees start to engage more, and then you should just see that your Glassdoor score will follow. And I think that's the ideal case is there's leaders like you and others in companies who have that more evolved perspective. On the flip side, I have a lot of empathy. I've myself received harsh Glassdoor reviews and it stings. It can be personal. And I think that's in the moment it can feel personal. But I think what I'm better at now than say when I first took over as CEO of Glassdoor was I can see the forest from the trees and say, and then look at this as a gift. Like all feedback and something where you look to try and improve from it and create a better employee experience, knowing that's actually going to be great for the business as well. And so that's generally the perspective I try and have, and I think that you have as well. But I have a lot of empathy that takes time to get there, and time can be hard and to, you know, receive constructive feedback.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. There's been a few times, right, where it can be a little challenging to, it hurts. It does hurt, but I think it's, and sometimes, I don't know, of course, there's been a couple times where I don't necessarily agree. But I think still what I end up trying to do is go through the motion of saying, okay, this isn't my perspective or worldview, but let me really try, like, in order, if even let's say I'm like, it's not ever so black and white as saying this is right, this is wrong, but I do believe in the thought process of, like, okay, in order to prove myself, let me try to prove myself wrong first so I can actually be confident in how I'm going about solving an issue. So I'll go through what are all the reasons this individual might be right? Like, I'm really trying to dive into it, and maybe somebody's hurt on the other side of it. Maybe they're hurt. So it's like, maybe, okay, the feedback isn't actionable for a reason that maybe from your perspective as a leader, you understand, but okay, how did what happened lead to that kind of more so emotional response? Like, what experiences could we have done to, maybe it was a communication thing. Maybe if we're saying to ourselves, that's not what happened, or that's not what we were doing, then maybe there's a breakdown in communication somewhere along the line where employees don't feel like they're necessarily in the loop, or they have a different idea of how the company is being run. And that's happened to me. I'll be honest. That's happened to me a couple of times where I've received the feedback of maybe a strategy isn't being executed properly, or why are we investing our energy here versus here? And in my head, I'm like, I know this. I know why we are. And I feel somewhat confident in that because we've given it a lot of thought. I've talked to a lot of advisors. We've talked to customers. And then the feedback, the next layer of it is, how well did I communicate that?
That's
happened to me more recently where I'm like, okay, so maybe what I learned from this isn't necessarily, I can't make the adjustment that's in the review. However, the adjustment that's like the layer deeper is, we need to figure out how we're going to communicate moving forward to make sure that we're completely aligned with our team and everybody knows why we do the things we do.
Yeah, I think that's a super thoughtful way of approaching it. And it could be communication. It could just, and then the other part of it, is it just like one review? Is it just one person saying this? Or is there a chorus of voices saying this? And that's where also I think other tools as well. Glassdoor is one resource you can do to get feedback on how your employees are feel right now. And there are other ways you can get feedback as well. You can obviously just talk to employees. You can do internal pulse surveys of employees. But I think having an attitude of where you embrace that, where you want to learn from that. And as you said, it's not necessarily means that employees don't like this, therefore you change strategy. Trying to understand where is the point of view coming from that people aren't on board. Is it a communication issue? Are there other things that you just, unintended consequences of decisions you've been making that you need to bring to light? Or is it just frankly, look, there's going to be some pain with this decision, and you stand up and you say, okay, that's the thing we need to lead through right now. But irrespective, I think that's the role of leaders, is to take on feedback and to actively seek it out. And I think Glassdoor is just an incredible leadership tool for people if they take that attitude to embrace the content we have on our platform.
I think that's a great conclusion to the first segment. I love that part of the conversation. That's really cool. I want to transition into a conversation about the future of recruitment, future of employment, hiring, employee experience.
And
maybe start high level about your thoughts on how the future of work, buzzy terms we can get a little deeper into, what does that look like over the next several years? And then I would love to hear from you and how Glassdoor is going to continue to be that incredible resource for candidates, employers. What product roadmap do you have? What focus does the company have? So I guess starting with the high level, what's the future of work going to look like? And then what is Glassdoor doing to empower folks to make the most out of their careers and to grow their companies and these types of things?
Yeah, love the question. And it's one we think about a lot. And frankly, it's been through thinking about this question that we've started to evolve our strategy for Glassdoor and where we want to take the platform. I think I rewind back to COVID times in 2020, and we're thinking a lot about Glassdoor's direction. We'd seen this seismic shift in how people would work. It was forced upon us that all of us had to start working from home and we couldn't go into the office. But then since then, in a post-COVID world, it's really fundamentally changed how people work. And I think it's still shifting. And I think maybe the pendulum swinging a little bit back. You see some companies asking people to return to office. But I think we can all confidently say that the world of work in the future is going to be very different to 2019 and before. We're not going to go back to 2019. There are big swaths of the job market that have actively embraced remote work, big swaths that have actively embraced some hybrid culture. And even the ones who are largely returning to an in-office culture, I think even they, just by virtue of that, their talent competitors offering more flexibility, will be offering more flexibility. And so there is just a higher degree of flexibility in the future of work than we've ever seen before. And so I think that comes with a ton of advantages. for both companies and for people. I think for companies, it opens up new talent pools they can be tapping into. If they start even thinking about embracing more asynchronous type work arrangements, I think that can also lead to unlocking different forms of productivity. And I think while there's a lot of things that we do really well synchronously, I think it's for many companies overdone. And I see that this is changing as well. But on the con side, I'd say that from the employee experience, despite all the flexibility you get, what we've seen, and we see this on our platform in Glassdoor reviews, is that people feel more disconnected from their workplaces and from their colleagues than ever before. So we've seen people talk much more about these concepts of burnout at higher rates in workplace reviews, or feeling lonely or feeling isolated. And these terms come up in more reviews than we've ever seen before. And it makes sense. I think back to my own experience, 2019, before, I was coming to the office every single day, having the banter, having that energy that you get from being around other people. It's very different to today, where Glassdoor is now a largely remote-based workplace. And I don't get that energy. And I even feel a little bit disconnected. And so I think that's a major change in the change we've seen and will be a big part of the future of work as well. Another major change we've seen in the last few years is, and I think it's both related to this newer generation of workers who want to be more, bring their whole selves to work and want to be able to talk about a whole set of topics related to their work and life in the workplace, more so than ever before. Topics we would have typically thought of as taboo, topics related to politics, or all these other social issues have now become something that people are looking to talk at work. And people are also expecting their leaders to talk about at work or even have a stand on. We've seen research that shows that people feel more disconnected from traditional sources of leadership, like governments, leadership in governments, or even leadership in religions. And so therefore, they're turning their attention to their workplace leaders to fill that void and therefore have a stand on many social issues. And so I think that's a trend that is only increasing, not decreasing. And so I think as a result of that, the workplace and what a company stands for is much more than just a narrow concept of its business, but also its values are now more front and center in how it attracts talent and how it conveys itself to the world. And so these are probably some of the biggest trends that we've seen at Glassdoor. And I can talk a little bit later around some of how that's evolved how we think about our product. But yeah, I think we've frankly seen the biggest shift in the workplace experience in these last few years than I've ever experienced in the many decades that I've worked. And I think it's true in multiple generations, probably going back to the time of probably around World War II when we saw disruptions of this nature.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And some of these are pretty big problems to solve for when in terms of people not feeling like they're able to engage with their team quite as much, and how that is shifting company culture. I think a lot of people, despite maybe feeling like it's harder to engage and feeling a little disconnected,
yeah,
people also, like, multiple things can exist at once. People can be really happy with the flexibility, getting back the commute time, which is insane when you do the math on how many hours you get back.
Just in your waste, life. Right? Yeah.
And two, with parents, thinking about,
right,
if your kid's at daycare or at school, it's, you have a few hours in the morning, a few hours in the evening, and that's it. And if two of those hours or possibly more are commuting, it's a lot of time. But that could be with your family or doing something healthy for yourself or these types of things. So I think most people would agree that's great, that we're getting, as a society, essentially, we're getting a lot of time back. But specifically getting into Glassdoor, I know you have more of a new community feature that you're rolling out. And is that correlated? Is that to essentially help solve for this issue? And if so, how are you doing that?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's those kind of two of those issues that I raised, one around the feeling of disconnectedness in the workplace and the other around wanting to have real conversations about a broad range of topics. And so what we've embraced is bringing more conversational content into the platform, and so that people can view Glassdoor as a community for workplace conversations. So not just a place you go post reviews or share your salary, but a place where you can go and connect with people and have chat back and forth. That could be, there's different types of communities that kind of started to evolve in this concept. One of the most important communities is the employees you work with, so your colleagues. So we've created these, what we call company bowls, which are a private space just for verified employees of your company where you can converse with one another And similar to where anonymity has been a big part of Glassdoor from the beginning, we see anonymity being a really important part so people can have real conversation without fear of being reprimanded by leadership. So they can really speak truth to power in that sense. And so we found that these company bowls, an incredibly vibrant set of communities once they get going. But we also want to have communities not just within your company, but across industry as well or interest areas. You know, if you work in tech, there's a tech company bowl. If you work in recruiting, there are HR bowls. And then there's also ones for interest areas like women in or affiliate groups, affinity groups like women in tech or real estate investing and things of that nature. And we see that in all these different types of communities, it's just a really vibrant conversation. I think filling this void for the fact that we're not having these types of conversations in the workplace in a physical sense anymore, but we still want to be having these conversations.
Yeah, definitely. And I think too that employees probably are going to like the idea that Glassdoor is a totally separate company that's unaffiliated with the HR people team or whoever's reading right through the feedback, because there's employee surveys that are anonymous and whatnot, right? And there's different tools out there. But I think the idea of having Glassdoor is really trusted as an external resource that's completely unaffiliated, where people are already used to sharing different types of feedback, right? Particularly challenges that they're going through. So I think people would like the idea of it being through Glassdoor versus in a survey that's sent out by their employer.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's nice that this is not a tool that your employer has told you to go use, like their internal survey tools. But frankly, as a leader, I can tell you that, and I assume most leaders would operate this way as well, is that when you send out an internal survey, you're not going to break anonymity and break employees' trust. But I think for employees, they may not always have that trust. And so they do like the idea of a third-party platform that they've engaged with, that it's not something their employer told them to use, they can come to, and there's a high degree of anonymity. Within our community, we actually create the option for people to choose a level of identity. So you can be purely anonymous, or maybe you want to post as working from your company or your particular role. Or if you choose, you can post into the community with your identity. So I often post as Christian Sutherland Wong, and particularly when I'm talking within our own Glassdoor employee bowl, as I want people to have full transparency. It's my voice they're hearing. But it really depends. And I think anonymity, in some cases, it can be great for providing safety. But also, I think anonymity is great in terms of levels of playing field. It makes every voice matter. And often when you don't have a platform like that and you have a leader come in, their voice carries more weight. It's really nice. It doesn't matter if you're the top of the leadership team or you're just a frontline employee. Everybody can have the same voice in this community. And I think that's one of the most powerful aspects of giving people control over how they choose to identify themselves when they post.
And so are most of the posts centered around asking questions, or what are some of the more specific use cases? Like how are people using it?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, a lot of it is asking questions, people looking for support. So one of the biggest use cases, not surprisingly, because we're Glassdoor, is people who are researching companies and jobs and they're looking for information about a career switch. So they're trying to get some information from people. But there's also, it goes beyond just, I'd say, strictly the jobs transaction. People talk more broadly about their careers and even more into other stuff that you talk about at work. If you remember back in the days when we're in the office, we would talk about sport on the weekend or that the football game or things like that. And so there's that type of banter also comes onto the platform and people talking about a whole set of topics. And then there's the more lighthearted stuff where it's not necessarily a question, but more of a meme or a funny post that people are just sharing to create a bit of levity as well. So it's a range of things. But I think a lot of it is utility, where people are trying to get some advice for their career, get some advice for maybe a job switch, and they're leveraging the power of the community to help them get informed.
So for people that are part of the same employer that are leveraging one of these, a bowl, are there several channels per se? Or I don't know if there's some people are asking questions about career progression or possibly transitioning into a different department. Is that part of the same conversation thread, or is it, as somebody who's talking about something more lighthearted, or is it conversations segmented out? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's evolving, but I'd say our first insight is that it actually mixes really well to have the lighthearted stuff mixed in there with the more utility stuff on, hey, have a question about my career, or have a point of view on this in response to some recent leadership news or the other. in addition to having the lighthearted stuff, having it all mixed together, I think works really well. We are thinking of, like, you get really big companies on the platform, in a 10,000, 100,000 person employee company. We do start to see the needs to create these channels on, maybe this is more relevant to a particular part of the team, a particular location or a particular function. And we've experimented, even at Glassdoor, we have different functions who've created their own sub-channel or sub-company bowl for just their department, and they converse that way. But we're still evolving exactly how it all fits together, because I even find that sometimes some of the stuff that you find in, say, what the product leader, the product managers are talking about, be great for the broader company to hear, and vice versa. It's something we're still figuring out, but I think it's what's most powerful is that people want to have these conversations with their colleagues.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's naturally going to evolve based on where we're seeing the most engagement, right? Like, how are people actually using and engaging the most? And then it'll be cool to see how that evolves over the next several years.
Yes, yes.
Cool. So anyways, look, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. We're coming up on time. And I know you've shared a ton of really valuable insight and some interesting stories too on the evolution of Glassdoor and LinkedIn. So I know everybody tuning in is going to get a lot of value from this. Christian, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today.
Been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, James.
Of course. And for everybody else tuning in, make sure to continue to tune in over the next few weeks. We have a lot of really exciting episodes coming up. We have Dan Chait, co-founder and CEO of Greenhouse, coming back on. Steve Bartel, co-founder CEO of Gem, coming on. And then we also have C-levels coming on from GoPro, DocuSign. And we also have Amit, who's a good friend of mine, who's the CEO of Tenable, which is a publicly traded cybersecurity company you may have heard of. So we're going to continue to bring on some amazing folks to add value to you. Thank you for being part of our community, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained a lot of valuable insights to help guide your talent strategy. I also want to say thank you to my team at Secure Vision for making the show possible. Secure Vision is the number one embedded recruitment provider, and we are a three-time category leader on G2. Secure Vision partners with over 150 companies to provide on-demand recruiters who specialize in either tech, revenue, or G&A. For more information, you can visit securevision.io. For more content, you can follow me on LinkedIn at James Mackey or on Twitter at James Mackey DMV. We've dropped links in the description. If you want to be on our show or have any topics you'd like for us to cover, reach out at breakthroughhiring.io. We really appreciate your support with reviews on Apple Podcasts. And lastly, make sure to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday for a new episode. See you next time.